So we humans, and this may seem something of an obvious thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, are meaning makers. We have a deep-rooted need to create explanations for the way things are. We like explanations. We like meaning, even when there is little or no meaning to be found in the stories we hear, in the events we experience, or in the world around. For a quick and easy confirmation of this, just take a look at my newsfeed anytime. It's filled with commentators trying to find meaning in the actions of a certain orange wannabe dictator. Those on the right declaring him the master of the deal and of playing a clever game with all the nations, despite it seems all the evidence to the contrary. And those on the left tying themselves in knots, seeking to work out what's behind what's going on, the reasons behind the choices being made by the current administration in the US, trying to find meaning amongst the chaos and destruction, whether there's any meaning or not. And much of our scripture tries to do the same thing, trying to find meaning through explanation, or more often through story. What's the distinction, you may ask? Well, according to the NPR podcast, The Hidden Brain, a story lets the experience or the narrative speak for itself, and we derive our meaning from what is implicit within the tale. An explanation makes explicit the meaning within or around an event, a story, or a scientific statement, or whatever. We find mostly story in our scriptures, though sometimes we find explanation woven into story, both of which are present in both of our scripture readings this evening, both with a very deliberate link. It's not one of those tenuous links that I often rant about, that they just decided to have two readings with a vineyard in. The vineyard is very deliberately a choice, an image of Israel. In Isaiah, the story is the vineyard which has been encroached upon by wild grapes, yielding not grapes ready for the winepress, but these unusable grapes. And the result of this is that the vineyard so carefully planted is to be torn down and laid waste. The writer then goes on to explain that the vineyard is Israel and Judah, who choose bloodshed instead of justice. In the passage from Luke, we hear of another vineyard, one tended by slaves who decide to rebel against their master. The master sends representatives who they beat and eject from the vineyard, and in the end sends his son, who the slaves, in a stunning lack of logic, decide to kill in order to inherit the vineyard for themselves. And then, according to Luke, Jesus links this to a scripture about rejecting the most valuable stone, which would become the cornerstone of a new building. And the religious leaders who hear it, according to this account that we heard today, the religious leaders who hear it realize this is an explanation of their own expression of religious faith being rejected by God. The writer or writers of this Gospel of Mark are wanting to make it clear that they believe Jesus to be in some way the fulfillment of the way in which God will reject a wrong interpretation and the unrighteous living of the contemporary leaders of the Jewish religion. Contemporary to Jesus' day, to Mark's day, even to the point of Jesus being killed despite being the cornerstone of a transformation, a reformation of the Jewish faith. I wonder if the explanation given about the cornerstone and the annoyance of the chief priests and scribes is actually something that Jesus said, or something that was added later. Or even if the parable here is put into the mouth of Jesus, used to give meaning to the early church, just beginning to understand its own life and to understand the life and the death of Jesus as they emerge from the Jewish tradition. And without putting too fine a point on it, this is a time when anti-Semitism is becoming very real in the early Christian communities. It's certainly something we find within our gospel reflections, including and especially John's gospel, which is a whole other conversation. Certainly at worst, interpretations of this parable can lead to what I've railed against here before, supersessionism, The erroneous and misguided belief that Christianity supersedes and supplants Judaism, and that the chosen people of God are no longer the Jewish people, but those who call themselves Christians. And that's the problem with explanations. They can lead us to wrong conclusions by taking a story and adding layers to it that may not be there, or that are there, but don't require or expect to be neatly fitted into an explanatory framework. I think our tendency is to explain rather than just sit with a story, to not allow the story to tell itself. And as we move from this Palm Sunday into the rest of Holy Week, I think it would benefit us to live with the stories, not to try and research facts and explanations or even to make them up as to why it all happened, or to immerse ourselves in theories of atonement, but to hear again what the story tells us of Jesus' last days and of the import of all that we will hear in this next 5 days. If we allow ourselves to listen with fresh ears. I know our scripture stories often need context and sometimes content explained, but as I said this morning, I believe our stories this week are an invitation to live into the stories, experience them, hear them, be astounded and inspired and frustrated and bemused and angered or excited or whatever by them. So I want to encourage us all in this Holy Week, let the stories speak to our souls and to our hearts, not just to bounce around inside our heads as we try and make them fit into a particular meaning or construct in our minds. May our Holy Week be an inspiring and heart-rending time, experiencing again this painful and powerful story of our faith. Amen.